We are looking today at the shepherds. And I don't know about you, but, you know, I'm 55 this year, double fives. I just think that's special. I don't know. You know, yeah, every year's special. But it's two fives, and it just thrills me. It won't happen again until it's two sixes, okay? That's 11 years from now. That's too long from now to even worry with. But I just think, you know, in my 55 years, I've had coming on 55 Christmases. And, you know, I've been in church for now as an adult and a Christian for quite a few years. And, you know, just how much can we say about the shepherds? How much can we say about the prophets? How much can we say, you know, pastors say it every year. You know, I have three sermons and I just rotate them throughout the years. One for every 3 years. And then hopefully you don't remember 3 years from now what I taught about the prophets, you know, 3 years ago. Well, because of where Miss Sally and I are going, looking at you know, how is this, how are the shepherds to come? We looked at the prophets. How were the prophets to come? And the prophet actually said, come down. Lord, come down. So what about the shepherds? How does the thought of come, whether it's God coming to them or them coming to God, how does this work? How do the shepherds come? So if you would, turn in your Bibles. We are going to be in the book of Luke. It's where we're going to start. And we're going to read the very familiar verses that all of us know. In fact, it's where our Advent readings came to us today from. And we're going to look at this. And then we're going to suppose some things, okay? We're going to have a discussion here. From verse 8 in the second chapter of the book of Luke, that's where we're going to start. And we're going to ask ourselves the question, how are the shepherds to come? Where is the come in this discussion? So from verse 8, we read these words. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a babe wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger. And suddenly there appeared with them, with the angel, a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased. When the angels had gone away from them into the heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as they had been told. May the Lord bless this, the reading of our Christmas story, unto our spirits for eternity. Amen. Well, as I look at this, and I want us to break it down, there's literally two sections here. The one deals with the angel. The first section deals with the angels who have come to the shepherds. So the angels come down, and they bring with them an invitation. Now, if you remember, somewhere else in the scriptures, it says that the man prepared a banquet feast, and he sent out invitations to everybody that was supposed to come, but they didn't come. They all made excuses. So then finally he told the servants, go out into the streets and the byways and bring anybody that's there. Do you realize that's this story unfolding? Now, that story is told afterwards because it's a parable that we're being taught. But as we see here, it's unfolding here right in front of us. God never says anything new. He has said it all before, and he'll say it all again. Because God's word ends, if I'm not mistaken, if we look to the back of the book here and we get to the book of Revelation. I'm not sure. I'm going to look. I just want to make sure. I just want to make sure about this. Yep, there it is. There's a period. Okay? The last word is amen. Period. There's no comma. There's no apostrophe. There's no hyphen to let us know there's more to come. Period. It's been said. So here we are, and we have this invitation, and the angels have come to say, come. God sends his messengers out. He sends his servants out. And it so amazes me, because when Whitey was reading the story, could we imagine how those shepherds must have felt? Okay? I don't know about you, but I love being outside in the quiet, especially at night, because nothing makes noise. After a certain period of time, it just seems as everything goes to sleep, and it's quiet. I was reminded of that as I was in the woods last evening, and when it's snowing, it is deafening quiet, because with the snow coming down, it literally muffles all sound, and your ears, which are so used to our lifestyle of all the hubbub and everything that's going on, your ears are literally straining to hear the nth sound, because we are so used to all the sound that is around us that we don't really know what silence is anymore. And when we do get it, it feels strange. And literally your ears will start to hurt because your ears are straining just to hear something because we are so stimulated by sound all the time. But I want you to think about these shepherds, because to them, that's the life they had. There was no noise out there in the desert at night. It was pure silence, just quiet. So you could hear the voice of God if he decided to speak, because it was quiet. And all of a sudden, somebody did speak. And think how they felt when that light showed up, and then an angel steps out of it, and there they are in the midst of it, probably thinking, like Whitey said, you know, oh, my Lord, the end has come. I'm going to be judged. I'm going to hell, because they're sinners, and they haven't been to the temple, and they haven't given their offering, and they're still under sin, and if I die at this moment, it's judgment. It's not restoration, because that's what they thought. But instead of bringing judgment, what does he bring? He says, well, it's okay. Don't be afraid. I have an invitation for you. How many of us expect divine messengers to show up in our lives? How many of us expect divine messengers to come into our life and bring us an invitation to come to God, to receive salvation? And that is exactly what they said. You know, we read the story, but do we really read the story? Because it says here, the angel proclaimed, unto you this day a kid is born. No. A Savior is born. Christ the Lord. Now, excuse me, if I have, divine appointment here, angels are coming to me and telling me that the Messiah has just been born. These people have been waiting for the Messiah for how long? Are you going to go? Or are you going to sit there and say, oh, okay, we'll get to it. We're with the sheep right now. So the angel bids them to come. And not just one angel, but this message was so important. Think about what the sky looked like with just the one angel. How many of us would fall on our faces? But then all of a sudden, the heavenly host opens up. Now, we're talking out there in the middle of the night. There's no light pollution yet, okay? You know, you can't see the lights from the racetrack. You know, that was one of the things when I first moved in here to Lebanon. I would see those lights out there when I'm up here on the hill. And it's like, what is that over there? Man, it just everything lights everything up. What is that? And then I realized after a couple years, somebody told me, well, that's Penn National. That's the racetrack. I said, no, it can't. It is. It's the racetrack. We have so much light pollution, we don't even see it anymore. How many of us look up at the stars at night and say, oh, isn't that beautiful? I'll tell you what, you want to see stars? Go out in the desert. You want to see stars? I was in Montana on the Rocky Mountains. I did not think there were so many stars in the universe as that night. You guys have been in Hawaii. What's the sky look like down there where there's no light? Isn't it awesome? It's like you look up and it's like, where'd that all come from? Well, think what those shepherds thought when the angelic choir stepped out. The amount of light that was in the sky was probably blinding. And the invitation was to come. How important do you think that invitation was? Come, come, come. An invitation to receive salvation. Do you think it's important? The prophet had called for it years ago. Come down, O Lord. Come down, O Lord. And he didn't even want him to come down on the mountain. He wanted him to come down as a little fire and just visit him and empower him once again. Remember? Well, he says, you know, I'm going to do you one better. I'm not going to come as a little fire. I'm going to come as a babe. I'm going to come just like you. And when we see that and we hear that, we wonder to ourselves, well, what kind of God is this? What power is there in that baby coming? What power is there in something so small and something so trivial? It's the power of life and death. Because if he's truly going to save us, he has to come in the same way. And we have to come in our flesh to him. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of us in our flesh are ready to receive a Savior? Because in our flesh, we'll deny the Savior every time. Look at our world. God has come and he's invited everyone of the earth to come and join him, that our Savior is here. And how many of them are flocking to the church doors? None, or very few. And those who do come only come because somebody else went and gave them an invitation to come. Because God is still sending the invitation out through you, his divine messengers. The question is, when they look upon you, did they see the divine glory that the shepherds out in the fields saw when the angelic host was there? Or do they see something, yeah, you ought to come to our church. We got some things to do. Really? Yeah, pastor preaches too long. He needs to cut it back a little bit. And the choir needs to rehearse a little bit more. And they need to stop taking two collections. You know, just don't get that. It's so funny because when we talk to people about church, when we talk to them about our Christian life, do they see the joy? You know, that's why I wanted us to think about that. You know, joy, joy, joy. And then I listen for the echo. Joy, joy, joy. Really? The echo should be louder than the first. Because God is saying, joy, joy, joy. And what's our response to him? Yeah, I got joy. We're going to sing that refrain before we end today. But we're going to sing it backwards. The first part should be joy, joy, joy with a question mark. And then the answer is the echo, joy, joy, joy. We get it backwards. Are we inviting the way the angels invited? Are we bringing that message? Are we that come? Okay, that's the first come. It's an invitation to receive. It's an invitation to eternity. It is an invitation to come unto the Lord and come into the banquet feast and feast on the Lord. Remember, where was the child born? Bethlehem, the house of bread. And he is the bread of life. we are to feast upon him. He's invited us to a meal at the place that it was made. And it was made manifest here on earth for each of us to partake. That's the first come. The first come is an invitation to the shepherds. The second come deals with the shepherds. And it's the shepherds themselves saying in verse 15. When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." They said, "Come on, guys, let's go." So the second come is we have to say, "I need to come to the Lord. I need to come out of where I am and into his presence." We need to come unto the Lord. The second come is us coming out of wherever we are and whatever we're into where he wants us to be. We have to come out. You know, there's a connotation to coming out that most of us really as Christians don't want to hear about. We've heard it, you know, so many times. "Oh, yeah, well, didn't you know he came out the other day? Or a couple weeks ago, that person came out." What am I talking about? Coming out of the closet, right? Well, somebody needs to shut that closet door and lock it. But the reality is we are to come out of our sin. So when I hear somebody saying that they're coming out, no, that's wrestling with who you are. Okay, to come out means to come out. It means to separate oneself. And the shepherds here said, "Hey, we need to separate ourselves unto the Lord. We need to come out. Let us go. Let us go. We've had this invitation. Let us go. We must go. I must go." Because we have to make it personal. But you see, they were all together. They all received the invitation, and they realized that none of them were any more important than the other. So they said, "Hey, let us go." And that's one of the things that we need to remember is when we're out there in this world, we too are shepherds because God is putting sheep before us. And we need to say to those sheep, "Let us go. Let us go to Bethlehem, the house of bread, that we may partake of the bread of life, who is Christ the Lord." So there's a second come here, and this come speaks to you and I, that as the shepherds saw that brightness of the heavenly invitation, as they heard the words and it pierced their souls, that there was a response. There's an invitation to come, and then there is us coming out of where we are and into the salvific truth of Jesus Christ. So the shepherds are important because they give us the message of the invitation. And the shepherds are important because they give us the knowledge that we need to come out of where we are and into the innocence, love, forgiveness, grace, compassion of a Savior who wants to feed us unto eternity. But you see, these weren't the only shepherds that were involved that night. How many of you know there is at least one more shepherd that the Christmas story doesn't talk about? But he was there. Turn in your Bibles to John in chapter 10. You see, when we think about the shepherds and coming, we have to understand that God uses the fullness of every expression when he speaks about something, when he's teaching us, when he is bringing us into his wisdom. So we need to remember that the shepherds were invited to come because they were the lowliest of the people. They were the ones who were out there, and the Christ has come to save the lowliest of the people, sinners, you and I. He didn't come for the righteous. If you're righteous, do you need to come to salvation? You should already be walking in it. But he came to the lowly, to the lost, to the lame, to the hurt. And he gave the invitation to them, and they came. But remember, there was another shepherd there. And he says, lo, from verse 14, I am the good shepherd. Who else was there, people? The baby Jesus, who was the shepherd born to be the shepherd of all the sheep of God's pasture. He was a shepherd too. We need to remember that our shepherd was there that day as well, and he had a message to come with him. And he says, I am the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for the sheep. He who is a hired hand and not a shepherd, who is not the owner of the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hired hand and is not concerned about the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and I know my own, and my own know me. Even as the Father knows me, and I know the Father, I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep which are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will hear my voice and will become one flock with one shepherd. There's another shepherd, and he's laying there as a babe, and he's saying, come to me, and I will lay down my life for you. I will protect you from the wolves of this world. I will protect you from the very sin of your own life. Do you know there are times when we are our own wolf? And God says in his Son, Jesus Christ, I will take that place for you. I will lay down my life for you. Come unto me and allow me to come unto you. It's a duplistic come. That as we come unto him, he comes unto us. As I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Wow! That is for us. As we are in Christ, Christ is in us. And when God looks upon us, he does not see our sin. He sees his Son. He sees his righteousness. He sees his perfection. And he gives it freely unto us. And he calls us his child. So when he looks upon us, he sees us come as that little babe. And then we need to grow up in Christ Jesus. We need to grow up. As Jesus grew up in this world, we need to grow up in a heavenly world. We need to grow up in eternity now because it's here for us. But we have to avail ourselves to him, to come unto him in every aspect of our lives. We were talking about that today in discipleship. You need to be in discipleship. It's one of the most important aspects of church. I can only teach so much because I only get to teach for half an hour. Unless I'm long-winded and we go 45. But Jesus has come, and he bids us to come unto him. So you see, when we think about the shepherds, it is a come, 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 come. It is a beckoning call, a beckoning call to come. Come, receive. Come, restore. Come, love. Come. Advent is a time of preparing for Christ to come because he's coming again. And if we have not received him the first time as the babe, we will receive him as the King of Kings. Because at that time, he's not the prince. Remember, he came as a prince the first time. Because he said, everything belongs to my dad. When he comes back, when he comes the last time, everything is his. And he will act justly. And everything that is his will answer to him. Because everything that belongs to the master answers to the Master's bidding. Amen. So let us come now while it is the season to come. Would you pray with me? Gracious Father God, we do thank you so much that the shepherds teach us to come and receive, to come and eat, to come and partake, to come out of our stuff, and to come into your glory. So, Lord, too, we come, and we ask, Father, that you would bless us, that we may know that grace to an extent, that we would be able to go. Because, Lord, that's who we're supposed to be. We're to love you, to love others, and go just as you did. So, Father, help us to become that church. Again, there's that word, come. Because we are ever becoming and never fully receiving until that day when you restore us. So, Lord, may it be now that we are come unto thee in every moment of every day, that we may help others come to receive the same grace and mercy and love and redemption that every human being needs. For it is in Christ Jesus alone that we receive thy graces and thy mercy. In his holy name, Jesus the Christ, we pray thee with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen.
You have been listening to a Bible teaching from the Heart of Christ Church. You can find us on the web at www.theheartofchristchurch.com. If you have found benefit in listening to this message, you can send us an email from our contact page, or if you would like to donate or write to us, do so at P.O. Box 1011, Quentin, PA 17083.